They're the joyful agains our children shout on the swings, the exhausting agains of cooking and laundry, and the difficult agains of discipline. So much of what we do as mothers is on repeat. So what if we woke up with clarity, knowing which agains we were called to, and went to bed believing we are faithful in what matters most? We believe God's word is the key to untangle from the confusion and overwhelm we feel. Let's look up together to embrace a motherhood full of freedom and joy. Welcome to the Again Podcast, brought to you by Entrusted Ministries. I'm your host, Stephanie Hickox. In today's episode, I'm going to share a truly personal, painful testimony, but it's not my own. You see, months ago, we sat at a table preparing to begin this podcast, and Betsy Corning said something truly profound to us. She told Jen, Emily, and I that our best stories we will never be able to tell. And with each passing episode, we're realizing that's entirely true. To honor those in our lives, we often withhold stories or details. But we're continually faced with a dilemma because we want you to feel encouraged where you're at. We want you to persevere, regardless of your circumstances, to honor Jesus in your home. And we know that our ideal is rarely our real, and that our families are far from immune to this truth. So when you're struggling to overcome those challenges or surrender to God's plan for your family, the last thing we want is for you to feel alone. And that's why I'm sharing this testimony of a dear woman who took and trusted. She's sharing her story anonymously and bravely to honor those involved. But as I heard the details of the pain and rejection caused by the cruelty of her mother-in-law towards her, my heart broke and I knew her story had to be shared. Because not only was I being moved by her testimony, something else happened. Another woman at the table shared that her experience had been all too similar. And I saw what happened as they were finally able to discuss their situations. And they both said that there is very little information about this available. That's why I feel it's so important for us to discuss this, because I know there are many women who don't know how to relate to a woman who will not accept her with open arms, no matter how hard she tries, even if you aren't seeing fruit in someone else's life. I pray you are encouraged to reflect Christ's love and that this testimony fuels you to follow the Lord even when you are enduring and suffering. May we not grow weary as our faith is perfected. I dated plenty in high school and in college, and the families always loved me. Whether or not the boy continued to, the parents had always welcomed me quickly and fully. I expected the same to happen when I met my now husband's parents. They were Christians. We were from the same small town. We knew multiple mutual friends. Their name was highly respected, as was my family's name. Yet, we had never met before. I had unknowingly had the expectation that they would love me and I them, and we would fawn over our one day child and grandchild together while I was in wedded bliss with their son. That expectation was erroneous. What actually transpired was one of the most rigid earthly relationships I've ever been involved in. Through this relationship, the Lord blessed me and led me to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm so grateful and am more sanctified because of it. We tried throughout the entire 20 years of marriage to work towards reconciliation and love with them, but that was never the case in sight of heaven. But I have seen a change in my heart and my ability to trust my hurt and pain in the Lord's hands and timing. And as Scripture says, I gained righteousness, which, if asked honestly, I'd rather that than a perfect earthly relationship. When we were in premarital counseling, some of the hurt from her emotional abuse and attacks came up, and our pastor said they needed to be addressed. We called my in-laws and said the pastor should meet us and them in person. They were adamant that they would not meet with our pastor and that we were over-exaggerating. They demanded we come alone to talk to them. So we did, with much prayer and trepidation. It didn't go well, but we did meet face to face. When we were newly married, we set up boundaries the best we could, though being unskilled in working through this deep of conflict. Some boundaries included having limited time with them, never allowing me to be alone with my husband's mother, and my husband even took the step of writing down on the back of a business card the most urgent items that he must look out for if his mother brought them up, since it was impossible for him to see it all. It showed me that he was trying if he looked super close for those few things and addressed them as they came up. Throughout the year, we would have some rather awkward talks, some through emails, but mostly face to face. They always ended with her saying I was too sensitive and never admitting or apologizing for any of her behavior. Perhaps the comments were not as often, but they were still regular. Therefore, we felt that the only thing we could change was my heart and to not allow bitterness to take root. We continued to limit time spent with them. It seemed that she would use any situation she could to hurl hurtful spears into my heart through icy comments and cold-hearted actions. Poised within a seemingly loving gift would be a backhanded comment. This was too big for me, so I'm sure it'll fit you. When embracing after the birth of her firstborn granddaughter, whom I had just intimately birthed, she sneered, "It's amazing what some makeup will do for you, isn't it, dear?" The comments weren't always as obvious. Sometimes the words and actions were twisted together in loving and hurtful dances that begged my mind and heart to reconcile with what had just transpired before me. This definitely was not how I pictured my relationship with my in-laws when I had dreamed of my future spouse. To say this impacted my heart, my walk with the Lord, and my relationship with my husband would be a complete understatement. As we started to have kids and more negative or rude comments came up, we would address them with questions that a marriage counselor had us ask her. For instance, why do you say that you won't ever love our children like you'll love your daughter's children? Where is that coming from? Or how do you suppose I should take that comment? Mostly pointed why questions to help her to see her heart. If anything, they just caused her to talk more and argue more. Eventually, I got to the point where I could let more roll off my back. My husband got better at sticking up verbally for me with her, and we limited time with them. We seemed to come to some agreement on how to live peaceably. But often it wasn't peaceable. Often it was just plain hard. I didn't always respond with grace, mercy, and love. No, often, too often, I would respond in sarcastic or just plain harsh and rude comments spewed back at her. I would writhe in anger at my husband for not sticking up for me. As soon as our minivan would round the corner of their home, my heart rate would pulse so high I had to breathe deeply and repeat scripture back to my heart in order to just breathe normally as we pulled into their driveway. For years, I would smile and silently hold my thoughts whenever my kids commented on how much they loved their grandma. I never wanted my pain and bitterness towards her to seep out of my heart and hurt them. But it would hurt me all over again with each kind word their innocent hearts would lovingly express about this woman who was my greatest critic on this earth. It impacted every fiber of my being, and not for the good. Yet, what the devil meant for evil, the Lord meant for good. I sought counsel from a trusted older woman who went to our church. She faithfully challenged and loved me through this situation. Every time I would drive to her home to meet with her, I would fantasize, this time will be the time she tells me I'm right and I don't have to forgive and show grace. She'll be on my side and will finally see my mother-in-law for who she is towards me. She'll give me the pass I so long for. Thankfully, that wise, godly woman never did. She would patiently sit at her dining room table with her open Bible and gently ask, how are things with your mother-in-law? I would give a brief recounting of the new hurtful things she would have said or done. Then she would say, I'm so sorry. That's so hard. Then she would pull out her Bible and show me verse after verse how I had to deal with my sin. In the most loving way, she would point me to scripture about anger, pride, forgiveness, bitterness, self-control, love, etc., etc., etc. Not once would she ever, in nearly 10 years of meeting with her, put my mother-in-law down, nor give me that so desired pass to just write her off. Her wisdom called me higher, deeper. She would inspire me to love more, forgive further, let go of the anger, see the good, make right the wrong I had done, and give the rest to the Lord. Faithfully, she led me deeper to Christ in the midst of the hardest trial I had ever had. When I would want to withdraw, and there were definitely times where wisdom did allow us to pull back or withdraw in safety of my heart and our children's hearts, the sweet woman would encourage me to press in, to keep going to the family Christmas, to send her a thank you note for the kind gift she had given, while leaving out the snarky remark she had given me with it. Trust me when I say that I wanted to buy a billboard with my mother-in-law's picture on it and let the world know the fraud she was, or at least the fraud I saw her to be. But instead, I would painfully submit my heart to Christ, pray a bucketful of tear-filled prayers, and ask God to give me grace to love her well, to forgive, to not have a bitter root that would spring up and defile many, as it says in Hebrews 12:15. This is not supposed to make you assume I did this perfectly. Not at all. One talk with my husband, my dearest friends, my sweet mama and family members, and you would know the anger and vile hatred that would erupt from my emotions and out of my mouth as the overflow of what was in my heart. They each bore my pain. I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living, Psalm 27:13. God is faithful, yet we don't always see how. I wish I could write a perfect, God is good and does all things perfectly ending to this story. Unfortunately, my mother-in-law passed away a few years ago. Even on her deathbed, she never once asked for forgiveness, reconciled her relationship with me, or even acknowledged the numerous efforts I had attempted to desperately have a godly earthly relationship with her. I don't know her heart and will never know her motivations. I know she loved the Lord. I know we will worship together in heaven. I know all things will be right in heaven. But I would be remiss if I said I didn't struggle with the lack of reconciliation with her prior to her departure to the heavenly kingdom. If my faith and hard-fought effort were enough to transpire that relationship into a loving mother-in-law and daughter-in-law friendship, then we could have been frolicking in the hills of wildflowers holding hands together. But it wasn't that way. I struggled with, but God, I gave it all to you. I put it in your hands. I was still and waiting for you to fight for me. Why didn't you make this right? Make this good. You do all things good, except this. Why, God? As she was dying, she asked me to design her bulletin for the funeral. I was so scared because I knew it opened me up to criticism and rude comments, but to me it was the final, I'm giving you even this as a sacrifice, Lord. I prayed over that bulletin so much. I truly wanted to do it as unto the Lord and not care what her response was. However, she was rude and critical and just plain awful about it. I felt the grief of, are you serious, Lord? I tried to give this to you. I was at peace with it. She sarcastically said to me, well, I guess I just have to live with it. And I responded, unfortunately, by saying, well, thankfully, not much longer. She didn't even reply, and I left the room feeling like a failure. It wasn't until months after that I told my husband how disappointed I was at myself, and he said, she was rude and cutting to you. I've seen so much growth in you. You're human and you will continue to sin, but that doesn't mean that God hasn't done a huge work in you. It's not perfection or nothing. You've grown by leaps and bounds, and your response honestly was much tamer than it would have been years ago. God is continuing his work in you and making you into the woman he wants you to be, even in this hard and difficult situation. I still struggle with that at times, but I have come to know and believe that God isn't through with me yet, that he works outside of time. Though she has passed into eternity, he is still working. What he taught me in the depths of that rigid relationship was how to trust him with my pain, to not repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. 1 Peter 3:9. He walked me through, putting away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Like newborn infants, long for spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. 1 Peter 2, 1-3. He showed me that his word satisfies. He enabled me to live out, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with others, Romans 12:18. He reminded me to release expectations of how the situation with my mother-in-law would transpire, and to have my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, Philippians 1:20. The Bible states in James 3:18 that a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. It doesn't say that a harvest of peace is sown in peace. Usually, you harvest what you plant. But he lovingly walked me through this passage where, remarkably contrary to nature, you don't harvest what you plant when you plant peaceful seeds in a dry and dusty relationship. Sometimes the other person doesn't also want peace and consequently restoration. But that doesn't mean the peace seed doesn't just sprout. Instead, an unnatural thing happens. You harvest righteousness when you make peace. That meant that even when my relationship with my mother-in-law never changed, I was promised righteousness from Christ in earnest. To be clear, righteousness is conformity and purity of heart and life to the divine law. Devotion to a sinless life. I'll take that any day. Conformity and purity of heart and life to the divine law is far better than any earthly relationship any day of any week. The fruit that comes from making peace will be righteous conduct that God will bless. For the moment, all discipline seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, it produces the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12:11. I wanted to be trained by it. I didn't want to just do the easy thing and give up. It wasn't easy. I wasn't perfect. It was a constant battle. I learned that I needed to actively give grace to everyone, even my mother-in-law, so that I didn't forfeit God's grace and defile many with a bitter root. I began to see slowly and imperfectly that, as it says in Psalm 73, verses 21 through 22, when my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Any act of beastly nature towards anyone is first and foremost an act of sin against my holy God, and I needed to repent of any sinful behavior in regards to how I treated my mother-in-law. Regardless of what she had seemingly done to me, I was responsible to repent of any sin in my heart and to respond in a way that gave glory to God. That was the only way out. In high school, a youth pastor had shared this quote with me. I live for the purpose of giving God glory. Therefore, I must make every decision in light of that goal. I wanted so badly to give God glory. It was so very hard. It cost me so very much. And I did so very badly so many times. But in time, God slowly worked in my heart to give me the ability to give him glory by doing what I could to love her well. If you or someone you know is in a hard relationship with a family member, I encourage you to seek biblical counseling and an older woman to walk beside you. My friends would listen and sympathize with me, even cry with me. They would offer words of healing like, she is missing out on knowing you, or God is doing an amazing work through this in your life. They prayed with me. They prayed for me. They wouldn't let me take the easy way out. They held me accountable. Do these things for that girlfriend in your life who is having a difficult time. Write her a note of encouragement about how precious and valued she is, even if someone else can't see it. Remind her how very loved and cherished and accepted she is by God. If I could go back in time to the beginning of this trial, I would tell myself, hold on, take a deep breath. It's going to be a long ride. Cling to God. What you're about to experience will be the most painful pruning you've ever walked through. But what you're about to learn will be so worth it. One day, you'll share your testimony about it and have zero pain, malice, bitterness, or hurt Instead, you'll be so thankful for the opportunity from your loving God to reveal to you the depths of sin that was in your heart, where you're tempted to sin, and how to walk through it, giving God the glory as a woman more in love with the Lord and His ways. See, I told you she was lovely. And perhaps I am seeing the beauty and fruit the Lord worked out in her during this difficult season. If you have experienced pain or rejection from an in-law, may these words be a healing balm over you, knowing that it is the Lord's opinion of you that matters. Yes, we strive to live at peace with all men, but when that isn't possible, we still want to pursue relating to others in a godly way. In Entrusted, Lesson 19, Betsy talks about living in grace in relationships. She says grace includes 1, learning to ask forgiveness and express genuine sorrow. 2, receiving forgiveness from another so that the relationship may be healed. And 3, growing in long-suffering. Instead of reacting impulsively, we make the intentional choice to respond in a way that honors the Lord. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Hebrews 12. I'm so proud of my friend that chose to live with grace, even if it wasn't reciprocated. Be inspired and encouraged to fix your eyes on Christ, whatever your situation may be. May we all pursue Christ with all we have, increasingly reflecting him to others. I'd like to close with one more piece of fruit that I think might encourage those in this situation. You see, this weekend, I was quite sick, and my mother-in-law was visiting, and she took care of everything so that I could rest and lay in bed for the first time, and I don't know when. It was such a blessing to me. And as I thought about this episode being released shortly, I thought about my sweet mother-in-law and how she had had a difficult relationship with her mother-in-law. I see how she relates to each of her daughters-in-law, and she is truly attentive and insightful to our needs. Even if you don't have a mother-in-law that serves you well, someday you may have the opportunity to be the mother-in-law that serves and loves well. And that is Beauty from Ashes. We know you're busy, Mama, so we are truly grateful you joined us for this episode of Again. If you're looking for more information about building your home on the foundation of Jesus Christ, head to www.entrustedministries.com to learn more about our study for moms, Entrusted with a Child's Heart. This scripture-saturated study has blessed families around the world, and we want it for you too. Before you go, I want to pray this benediction over you from 2 Thessalonians 1:11 through 12. We're rooting for you. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Until we meet again.